Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
The one that's going to be born in Bethlehem never had a beginning and never has an ending. He is from one end to the other. There is no beginning and there is no end. Jesus Christ was God, manifested in the flesh, and he was the bread that came down from heaven, and he says, he that eats this bread shall never hunger. You and I know and understand that that is a type of the manna in the Old Testament that God miraculously gave, but he gave him this story. He says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? Dead. But if you eat this bread, you will not die. You will live forever. You'll have eternal life. And this is the bread that we're told is Jesus Christ. So he is the bread of life. And number three, at Sinai, God commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath day holy by resting from unnecessary work. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? So that they won't take you to the gate and have you stoned for your rebellion. That's in the Hebrew. Wasn't it wonderful but back in those days that all the families stood together and all the tribes believed the same thing and carried out the same judgment? And God says, this is not going to be tolerated, that will not be tolerated, and this here wickedness or this abomination shall not be in the nation of Israel. And if a person does it, did you know that you had the right to take your rebellious, drunken son to the gates and they could judge and then have him stoned to death? You know, after you saw a couple teenagers stoned to death, you know, you might just straighten up and fly right. There's some things that God says. Now, I'm almost glad we don't live in that day under that law. Who knows what would happen? Most of the people in America, if they did that today, would all be executed. Honor thy father and thy mother, which that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Our first relationship is with our parents. To honor means the child obeying his parents with a respectful attitude. This is the will of God. And there's a God in heaven that knows when children are rebellious. Parents are supposed to teach and educate their children and try the best they can. Sometimes we do a good job, sometimes we don't. Sometimes in a family, you could have one that obeys and one doesn't disobey. You say, what did I do wrong with this one? Adam and Eve had the same thing happen in their family, didn't they? I mean, one was obedient, one was disobedient. One killed the other one, the first family. Well, they couldn't say, well, it was the environment. I don't know if they could say it was the crowd, you know, the peer pressure, global warming. But anyway, number two, when a child grows up and does not obey his parents, he usually has problems with others and especially those in authority. Children that rebel against their parents as authority usually will rebel against all other authority. Any child or teenager that rebels against his parents is a poor risk for marriage. If that daughter is rebellious to her mother and dad, chances are she'll be rebellious to the man she marries. And so, therefore, they will be rebellious to God because, see, one of the first things children will learn, obey your mom and dad. Obey your mom and dad. But does mom and dad, should they obey the Lord? It's easier for the children to obey those that obey. So adults are to continue to honor their parents by showing respect and concern for their welfare. So as mom and dad got older, most times in Bible days, the kids took care of the parents. That was their social security. and you raise your kids right. And back in some of those days, they used to have large families. And wouldn't it be neat if everybody had about 10 kids to take care of them? So when you got old, you know, you didn't have to worry about it. You could stay with this one for a month, that one for a month, that one for a month, that one for a month. I told my son up there, I said, get that downstairs fixed up real good for me. Because I said, Mama, we might wind up having to come and live with y'all. Ooh. Told my daughter the same thing. She says, you just come right on over here. I got a room for you. And I had a preacher friend of mine that up here in Minnesota, they had a little parsonage out by the church. And so they had built him a nice church. And they said, now, when you retire, this is yours. You can come up here and you can stay right here. And you can stay as long as you want. Won't cost you anything. You can just retire and study and write and all that. And back then, I used to think, when I retire. You know, they said that to me almost 40 years ago. And I still haven't retired yet. But they got him a new preacher not long ago, and he didn't like the parsonage. So they bulldozed it down, and they put in a double wide. He's no longer the pastor there, so he took his double wide, and my retirement home is gone. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. So you never know how things are going to work down the road. I'm never going to get to retire. But, you know, it is good. Kids should take and see that their mom and dad are taken care of when they get old. And sometimes you may have to put them in a nursing home, whatever you have to do, but you ought to see that they are taken care of. And you ought not to forget them. Don't lock mom and dad away or some grandparents, and then you never see them. Don't do that to them. Pretend like that person was you. How would you like to be treated? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so love and respect each other. It's such an important thing. This command includes a promise that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Do you know, the Lord says if you did certain things that he would watch over and bless and take care and heal, protect. And he says, and none of the diseases of the Egyptians will I put upon you. See, God allows a lot of things to happen because of our rebellion. And we're facing that in our country. And it is repeated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. I don't think God likes it when children are disrespectful to their parents. Children should never talk back to their parents or sass their parents or be rebellious to their parents. When mama says, do something, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Daddy says, do this, do that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you should only have to tell them one time. My dad was not a godly man. But when he told me something, one time I did it. Because I knew the consequences. But I do believe that it's a right thing to do. In those points, I did honor my mother and my father. Even though they weren't saved and they weren't godly individuals, but that was my mom and that was my dad. God says this promise includes things going well for them in life. So it's an important thing. Thou shalt not kill. This short command teaches the sanctity of human life. Because man was created in God's image, every human soul has worth or value. Therefore, to despise another person's worth or to call him a person of no value or to be angry with him without a cause are seeds that spring up in the heart that can lead to murder. The deliberate, premeditated taking of another person's life, it is wrong. And I do not believe that abortion is right. I believe that abortion is murder. It's the taking of an innocent life. The safest place in the world should be a mother's womb. And yet it's the most dangerous place in the world. It's not Afghanistan, and it's not over in Pakistan. It's not Iraq. It's in a mother's womb. Today, most of those babies in a mother's womb aren't born. They're murdered. People say, well, you know, this is a bad time for people to be having children because of the economy and how bad everything is. Jesus was born at a bad time. Moses was born at a bad time. I was born at a bad time. My parents were just coming out of the Depression. They didn't have anything. My dad had to make moonshine to keep body and soul together. They did whatever they could. He made counterfeit money. Not a joke, that's what he did. He made counterfeit quarters. He was hitchhiking. A young couple picked him up, and he was in North Florida. And he was showing them his brand new quarters he'd just made. He was drunk. They took him straight to the police station. He spent more time in jail. But my dad dug wells. Remind me of Jacob's well. They dug wells. That's what my daddy did. I used to stand at the edge of the well, and I watched my daddy down there digging. And he was crippled in his right foot. His right foot went straight to the right. He had polio when he was a babe. And so you listen and you watch and you learn and see all these things and you realize that God has laid down some laws. We're to respect life and we're not to deliberately take the life of anyone else. Did you know, according to the law, thou shalt not commit adultery or thou shalt not kill? And then Jesus comes along in Matthew and he says, but I say unto you, if you just think it, or if you hate. See, he's going down to the motive of why you do what you do. What causes the crime out there is because of how a man thinks. And he doesn't have the control of his physical mind, his body. And therefore, he lets emotions run wild and he says and does things that he shouldn't do. Israel law was he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Execution. I don't mind it if they get back to a public hanging or public execution where people can see what happens to a person who violates God's law or the laws of society that demand the death penalty. People say, you mean you're a Christian and you're for the death penalty? I am a Christian, and yes, I am for the death penalty. If a person has committed premeditated murder, it is wrong, and therefore it should be done. Israel's law commanded capital punishment, and history proves it to be a strong deterrent to murder because it's a sense they won't do it again. Number three, when someone accidentally or unintentionally kills another person, that's manslaughter. And to kill someone in self-defense or in defense of other people, such as war, is not murder. The Old Testament relates many wars that Israel fought to protect the nations from enemies. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. This commandment emphasizes the sanctity of marriage and the home. Adultery is always a terrible homebreaker. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul, because there's a price to pay in what it does to him. I preached a sermon one time from that portion of Scripture that talks about seven things that happens to a man when his wife commits adultery. And I might preach that one of these days, but it's not a good, healthy subject that you like to preach on. Believe it or not, I don't like to talk on things like that. I would rather just talk on the love of God. But you got to preach on these other things too. It's called the whole counsel of God. You're supposed to preach on whatever's in the Word of God. And all this is in the Word of God. Everything I'm telling you tonight, is it in the Bible? It is in the Bible, and I will do my dead level best not to put a spin on it or twist it in any way, but let it speak and say what it does say. So, number two, Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So Jesus goes even further than that. He's talking about the motive, how the man thinks. And you're talking about, if the law didn't condemn you because, well, I didn't do that, and I didn't commit murder. Yes, but have you ever thought about murdering somebody? You ever hated somebody enough that if you could have got away with it, what would you have done? The husband says, I ain't going to sleep tonight. By this, Jesus said, adultery can begin when the eye stimulates the desire, the flesh. Proverbs 7:10 says, speaks of the attire of a harlot, means the appearance. And that's why a person has to be very, very careful. Some people say that this doesn't matter how a person dresses. It wasn't long ago before they had something right here in the streets of Tampa, Florida. And a bunch of women out there, and they were trying to show that we can dress any way we want, and a man's not supposed to get excited and so forth like that. Listen, a Rottweiler is a Rottweiler. And if you hang a piece of steak in front of a Rottweiler, don't be surprised if he tries to take it out of your hand. You got to understand, and women, and you listen to me, women, and don't you disagree with me. I'm a man. I'll tell you. You can't put on nothing and expect a man not to look or to think things he ought not do. You are not supposed to dress in such a way as to stimulate a man's appetite toward sex in a purposeful way. It's one thing when you are attractive because you're simply an attractive woman, but you can be attractive with all your clothes on. I don't believe that you have to show all the parts of your body, and I believe that you need to be careful on how you dress. I don't like it when I see women showing all their cleavage. You say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Maybe you don't, but then you're not the man. And if a man will be honest, he'll tell you. And most of them will tell you the truth. It's not good. It's not wholesome. It's not the best. So I believe that you need to be careful concerning this. Many young girls or innocent women do not realize that immodest attire, such as suggestive, revealing, provocative, or vulgar clothing, can tempt the opposite sex to adultery, sexual improprieties, or even rape. You say, well, they're not supposed to. Maybe they're not supposed to, but you don't understand the nature of a man because that's how he thinks and that's what he wants. Remember, a man will give love in order to get sex. Generally, a woman will give sex in order to get love. A man is stimulated by what he sees and a woman by the touch. If you understand the simple things of human nature, it can help you tremendously. For example, I used to have people that really got up tight with me because I made statements like, if I'm driving down the highway and I see a woman from the church on the side of the road, would I pick her up? And I told them, no, I would not pick her up. And they said, well, I can't believe it. You would do a thing like that. Well, I know several people that might have had to drop out of a presidential race for the simple reason they violated that simple little thing of being in the presence of people they shouldn't have been in when they shouldn't have and didn't have to. So, yeah, I'd rather have people say whatever they want to say about me being too picky. But I don't trust me. You ought not trust you. You ought not trust you in the presence of a young, beautiful woman behind locked doors. My door will always be unlocked. Most time it'll be cracked if I talk to somebody. Because I do not want anybody being able to say anything against that woman or this preacher. And I've wanted to try to guard my testimony for all these years. And so I can lose it very quickly just because of what somebody says. It don't have to even be true. You can ask a few people about that if it's not proven or not. You don't know. But I'm saying you need to watch yourself and guard your testimony at all times. Now, eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, emphasize the sanctity of personal property. Stealing is wrong, whether it be cheating on a test, taking credit for something you did not do, or the many other ways people steal. Let him that stole, steal. No more let him leave it with his hands. I just read that wrong. Let him that stole steal no more. See, God says, yeah, you've lied, you steal, you do all these things, but put away all these things. Put off the old man, put on the new man. You and I are supposed to live like godly people, holy people. And so that means that we have to watch our testimony in all areas at all times. You see, God did not do away with the law. It was never given to save a man. It was only given to serve a purpose that we can't save ourselves by our works. But now that you are saved, we ought not live in the flesh, after the flesh. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, emphasizes the sanctity of another person's reputation. Number one, God commands us to speak the truth in all matters. To bear false witness is more inclusive than lying. For bearing false witness includes various types of deception. with or without words being spoken. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You do not want to try to tear down another person's reputation or character by saying things that are not true. You got to be wise in what you do. And I just spoke about this morning at Ananias and Sapphira. Lied about money they gave to the church. When asked separately about the amount, they each lied. That day, Ananias dropped dead, and later his wife. The church quickly learned that God judges those who lie. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, emphasizes the sanctity of the human heart for God. You see, God wants us to desire him more than anything else in the world. So desire the things of God. Set your affections on the things that are above. Don't fall in love with the things of the world, because it comes and it goes and it can eat up your time. God says he's given us all things freely to enjoy, but not to make a god and not to worship. God wants our hearts to be contented and satisfied with him. When we want anything so badly that it disturbs our inner peace, we violate the command, thou shalt not covet. When considering coveting to be merely wanting something or someone that belongs to a friend or neighbor, but it could be an item in a store, a catalog, or internet, where the owner is unknown or far off. Jesus says, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists of not in the abundance of things which he possesses. The way to victory over coveting is to let God control what we want. Want what God wants you to have. Be what God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do, and it'll save you an awful lot of trouble in life. And your health that you have, your mental stamina that you'll have, will be so greatly enhanced by the joy of the Lord is your strength. And a lot of people don't have the strength to go on. And there's joy in doing what God wants you to have. The Ten Commandments reveal God's perfect character and man's faulty character. By the time you get through studying the law, you'll see how holy God is, the righteousness he demands, and how faulty we are, how short we have come. They convince us that we are all sinners, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law brings convictions to the soul and creates a need to be forgiven. For that reason, some people oppose the Ten Commandments being posted on the walls or engraven in public places. Why? Because the Ten Commandments makes a person painfully aware of his failure to be what he ought to be. And therefore, he senses in his heart a deep need that he cannot meet. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was never given to save a man. It doesn't justify a man. Can't make a man righteous. It doesn't give you anything. It can only condemn. Cursed is the man who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, you have to continue to do all the things that the law commands perfectly, righteously, all your life, so that it will not condemn you, and nobody qualifies. In past years, a schoolmaster was a servant who accompanied a child to school and left him there to be taught. In the same way, the law is to bring us to Christ, the only one who can forgive and save our souls. No one is saved by keeping the law or by doing good works. The Ten Commandments has never rescued a perishing soul nor start a person on the road to heaven, but they hold up a standard of perfection for us to measure ourselves by. And when the person sees himself guilty before a holy God and hears that Christ paid for his sins at Calvary, he is often ready to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior for forgiveness and an eternal home in heaven. Jesus summarized the last five commandments as, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of those deal with your neighbor. When it says, love the Lord thy God, verse 4, love thy neighbor as thyself, it deals with the neighbor, the last. The Apostle Paul wrote, New Testament believer, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's very simple and very clear. The commandments of God are righteous, perfect, just, holy, as Romans says, spiritual. But man is not. And it reveals the fault of man, the disobedience of man, and how short we come of God's perfection. That's why the law points us to Christ, because we need a Savior. This hand representing you and me, the wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. And the way we have this sin revealed to us is because the law reveals the sin. It reveals our transgression. But God loves us, and He hates what we do wrong, and it's eternal separation from the Lord. So God says to go to heaven, you have to be perfect, as righteous as God. And therefore, by the law, we are all condemned, and we're all guilty. And no man can save himself. We've all come short of God's perfection. God says you cannot save yourself by the things that you say or do. You need a Savior. This hand represents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The law points man to Christ. Christ had no sin. The law could not condemn him. So he did not have to die. So he took all of our sins, because he loved us, he took all the sin of all the world upon himself. And the Bible says that he fell under the wrath of God, and the law condemned him because he had our sins. He died for us in our place and came back from the dead because the grave could not hold him. And Jesus Christ came back from the dead and said that if you and I, if we would simply believe that what he did was for us, he would put the payment to our account, and we get to go to heaven on what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's pray, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I urge you right now to do just that. To admit to God you are a sinner. God loves you, but you and I are sinners. We have broken God's law. We have not kept it. We have not loved God the way we should, and we have not loved our neighbor as we should. We have failed on both accounts. And because of that, we're under a penalty, the penalty of eternal separation from God. And God said that if you or I would accept the payment Christ made on the cross for us, we could go free, not because we deserved it, but because he loved us. But the only hope that you and I have is to believe that when Christ died, he did it for us. I've already taken care of that 51 years ago. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you trust him right now as your only hope of going to heaven? If you will, God will save you right now and give you the free gift of everlasting life. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We're thankful for the word that you've given us. We pray that we would look to you and walk with you and love you as we should. And help us to love each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever heard preachers tell you that you must turn from sins to be saved and go to heaven? Does that mean you must turn from only the big sins or all sins before God will save you? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.